The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
It is Friday, and we welcome you to Exploring the Word. This is Bert Harper, along with Dr. Alex McFarland. And it's always a joy to have you on Friday. Let me give you a Bible verse, and this will help introduce our guest today. It's found in Psalm 53, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and have done abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. Again, we have a special guest today. And Alex, we're looking forward to this interview, aren't we?
Well, we really are, my goodness. And I'm glad that you quoted Psalm 14 there to begin with, because the Word of God has a lot to say about those that foolishly reject their Creator and Savior. And the guests we've got, folks, you don't want to miss a minute of this broadcast, because one of the greatest leaders of our lifetime, in my opinion, an evangelist, a scholar, a culture changer, really, and his name is Ray Comfort. And we could spend the whole hour giving you his bio, but we're going to hear about some new things he's doing that are very timely for the gospel and our culture indeed.
Ray, we welcome you to Exploring the Word. Thank you for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
And we've been looking forward to this. Alex and I do this program each day. And on Fridays, once in a while, we'll take time to do an interview. And when we heard about the possibility of this interview, we did not delay. And what we want to share today is a video that is accessible, that people can get a hold of. And it sounds like it's changing people's lives. It is called The Atheist Delusion. Ray, how... tell us a little bit about the video.
Yeah, about 8 months ago, I went to a local college. I was going to make a short video on one of my books for a publisher. And so I gave this comprehensive book to an atheist that I found. His name was Adam. It's always good to begin with Adam. And Adam looked at this book, which had colored pictures in it, and I asked him, is it possible that the book made itself? And he looked at me, and I said, yeah, let me give you some details. Color pictures fell from... ink that fell from the sky and formed itself into these beautiful pictures of hummingbirds and things like that. And then black ink fell from nowhere and formed itself into coherent sentences with capitals and periods and commas. And more black ink fell from nowhere and formed itself into page numbers in sequential order, bound itself, made its own graphics, and thus we have a book. Could that happen? And every one of them said absolutely couldn't. When I asked other people, Adam said, no, it couldn't happen. Of course not. It's impossible. So then I asked him one scientific question following that little illustration, and he changed his mind about the existence of God. His mouth just went in like a little road tunnel there. And so I thought, this is amazing. So I went to different universities and asked the same question and got the same response. So we put it together into a one-hour documentary movie, and we thought to ourselves as we watched it, this is the best thing we've ever produced. It made us weep, and we didn't want to promote it as such because it's blowing our own trumpet. We just put it out there, and thousands of people download it in the first couple of days, and we're getting feedback. This is the best thing we've ever done, and it's making people weep. It's so moving to see atheists change when they're adamant, fundamental atheists, to saying, yeah, I was wrong. God does exist. It's a wonderful thing to see.
Amen. I'm glad the Lord led you to that. Alex, you and I, you deal with apologetics continually, and we do a good bit on this program. Mm-hmm. This is really not just advantageous to the whole Christian community. This is something Exploring the Word. It just goes right down with our program, what we're trying to do as well, isn't it?
Well, it really does. And Ray, it's great to be back with you. I don't know if you would recall, we had the privilege of interviewing you. Marvin Sanders and I interviewed you at the Christian Booksellers Convention in Atlanta about 3 or 4 years ago. And I just, my appreciation for all that you do is just beyond measure. But I do work with a lot of young people, and we do a lot of apologetics on this program. And for those listening who may not be aware, atheism has really grown over the last decade. And many people have chronicled how the church in the Western world, this has been going on in Europe for a while, but here in America, atheism has really taken its toll, especially among young people. So I want to give a couple of websites. Then, Ray, I want you to continue telling us about this. Ray Comfort's website is livingwaters.com, and there's another website, Atheist Movie, atheistmovie.com. But my dear brother, I just want to commend you for addressing what I think is one of the most serious threats to the gospel in the last, 10, 15 years, and that's the rise of atheism. So here's my question. Could you give us just a little bit of a timeline on how atheism made such a comeback? Because for a long time, atheism was kind of dead. I mean, 96% of people say they believe in God. But we've witnessed this renaissance of atheism. To what do you attribute that, Ray?
Yeah, I think one of the chief contributors is the internet. When I was in my teens and my hormones were kicking in really big time, if I wanted to see a lusty picture, I'd have to send a friend into a store. He'd buy a magazine, bring it out, and it was pretty harmless comparatively to what's young people can see nowadays. At the click of a mouse, they can get into hardcore pornography. So we've had a generation that's been given to gross darkness, and the more darkness there is, the more they're going to hate the light. And right. So what atheism does, it provides a refuge for particularly young guys. 60% of atheists are male. Young guys who want to get into things they know they shouldn't, well, atheism says it's okay. If there's no God, then pornography is okay. If there's no God, then fornication, adultery, blasphemy, homosexuality, okay, morally okay. There's nothing wrong with them. And so men like Richard Dawkins and Lawrence Krauss are Pied Pipers that play a tune that this generation loves to hear, so they gladly follow them. And they pretend there's no God. Everybody knows God exists. Romans tells us the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood, so they're without excuse. But there are certain people, so they can get rid of moral responsibility and a feeling of guilt, who pretend God doesn't exist so they can feed all those sinful desires they have, particularly at the teenage age. So I believe that's one of the main contributors to young people, particularly getting into atheism.
Ray, let me ask you this. I get this question literally once a week at least. The grandparent or the parent who says, my child was raised in church, went to youth group, made a profession of faith, and now they're away at college and they tell us they're an agnostic, or they've, they're in their 20s and they've just abandoned church and they no longer claim to be a Christian. What do you say to the parent or family member who's dealing with that, and can you give them some tips on how to reach out to their prodigal young person?
Yeah, in the movie The Atheist Delusion, you'll find there are a number of young people who say, look, I went to church, and as I grew and within the church area, I just couldn't find evidence for the existence of God. What he's actually saying, let me give the interpretation of that. When I hit my teenage years, girls were a better shape than Noah's Ark. That's actually what happened. They just, she's nice. And so they just were led by their own desires, just like the prodigal son. But a huge contributor to this is modern pulpits. Many men in pulpits nowadays who should have been plumbers or electricians rather than sons of thunder, they don't preach the righteousness of God, the justice of God, the wrath of God. They don't preach the blood of the cross, repentance. They don't open up the law, the moral law, as Jesus did on the Sermon on the Mount. And consequently, sitting within God's people are literally multitudes of goats among the sheep, unconverted people that have never seen their sin in its true light and never understood the cross and found a place of genuine repentance. And so when temptation or tribulation or persecution comes, they fall away. They don't fall away from Christ. They fall away from the church because they're false converts. Jesus spoke of false converts in the parable of the sower, in the stony ground hearer, the thorny ground hearer, the wayside hearer, and there's a genuine hearer. The good soil hearer, the genuine convert, is he who hears and understands. And many aren't understanding the depth of their own sin, and many don't understand the cross. And so we've got multitudes within the church who aren't soundly saved, and they're being exposed when temptation comes along. And atheism is a huge temptation because of the door that it opens up.
Well, one of the things that amazes me is, people becoming atheists when you had such design. And surveys that show that atheists are more interested in nature than Christians. Is that true?
The survey asked, are you in awe of nature? And it came back that atheists are more in awe of nature, just the wonder of nature, than Christians. And it gives the impression that Christians are shallow scientifically and atheists are very deep. It's not true at all. All it is Romans chapter 1, an action. They worship the creature or the creation, we worship the creator. Uh-huh. They look at the painting and give praise to the painting, we give praise to the painter. They look at the painting and spit in the face of the painter, actually. They despise the creator, but we give God the glory. And when you become a Christian, everything looks different. When I became a Christian, the sky looked different. The trees raised their hands to God. The birds sung his praises. Everything I looked at was different because God had opened the eyes of my understanding. And so you can tell if someone's a proud heart or a humble heart by whether or not they'll give glory to God. You just try it sometime. Just say to a group of people, God answered this prayer wonderfully, and the proud heart will say, it's just a coincidence, blah, blah, blah. They don't want to give any glory to God. And that's because David put his finger on it. He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Proud person won't give God praise, won't give him glory until we come to that place of conversion where God opens the eyes of our understanding. We can see things like a blind man having his eyes opened.
Mm. So when they look at the design, there's many reasons that I would not be an atheist, but the number one reason first is design. Have you ever heard any answer the question, can you name anything that has design, purposeful design without a designer? I've tried and tried to think of that, Ray, and I haven't come up with an answer. Has any of the people you've asked such a question come up with an answer to that?
Yes. Lawrence Krauss, who's the Richard Dawkins of the United States, speaks of, quote, the illusion of design. Mm-hmm. That is, it looks designed, but it's not. When I look at my car and it's designed with purpose in mind, with wheels and a steering wheel and windows and windshield wipers and a motor and all those things, that's just an apparent illusion of design. There's no designer, there's no maker, there's not Volkswagen didn't put my car together. It happened after an explosion of nothing, and it took a long time in my garage. That's ludicrous. Every painting has a painter, every building has a builder, every car has a maker. Nothing made didn't have a maker. So, like I said, an atheist will commit intellectual suicide because he wants to hold on to his sins. They love darkness, they hate the light, neither will they come to the light lest their deeds be exposed. So atheism is a pretending God doesn't exist so that they can indulge in sinful practices without a feeling of guilt or moral responsibility.
No wonder Psalm 14 and Psalm 53 say honestly that it is a foolish thing. They're fools that do that. Go ahead, Alex.
Well, Ray, I was going to say that, and you expressed it so well. I mean, your theology will shape your morals, or your morals will shape your theology. And I've interviewed a number of atheists, ex-Christians or ex-professed Christians, really. Right. And oftentimes it is merely a wall to hide behind so they can assuage their conscience and feel okay about things they do that deep down they know are wrong.
You can find this out by answering a question. They'll come to you and say, hey, the Bible says bats are birds. And we know that bats aren't birds, so the Bible's not the word of God. But they don't bring out. You can answer them and say, look, bats weren't classified as bats or mammals until the classification for mammals came into being in, I think, the 18th century or something like that. And they're things that with wings. They were just classified as birds that fly around like birds in Bible times. And you can give them a good explanation. They won't say, oh, okay. They'll go back and have another 10 questions to bring back to you that you've got answered. They cut and paste from some atheist website. So they're not interested. They're interested in truth as much as a man is crawling through a desert dying of thirst is interested in licking a block of salt.
Okay, we're listening to Ray Comfort. It's the movie, The Atheist Delusion. We're going to be back after the break to share more about this movie.
With a ministry opportunity, here's Steve Tiber of 8 Days of Hope.
$22 billion of damage occurred last year in October in South Carolina due to flooding. They saw rain that they had never seen. It was a 1,000-year flood. And now you and I get a chance to go with 8 Days of Hope this October to help hundreds of families rebuild their homes. 16,000 homes suffered some type of damage. We expect thousands of volunteers to come from around the country to southeastern South Carolina in October. We're looking for roofers and plumbers and electricians, people that know how to paint and hang drywall. There's something for everybody at 8 Days of Hope. For more information, go to 8daysofhope.com.
Help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus. Sign up for at least 3 days between October 8th and 15th And if you're not able to go, you can still help with a financial donation at 8daysofhope.com. That's 8daysofhope.com.
This is Holy Land Moments, presented by the International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Today, Yael Eckstein tells us how the terror threat in Israel has caused her to see life and family in a whole new way.
For months, I've been reading Israel terrorism victim stories and visiting with them as part of the fellowship's Victim of Terror Project, where volunteers and staff bring the family of every victim a check for $1,000 within hours of the attack so that the financial burden is the last thing that they need to worry about. It has awakened me to live in the moment and be appreciative of the simple blessings in life that I so often take for granted, because nothing is a given. I made the decision to move from the United States to Israel, and I knew that no matter where I was in the world, if I wasn't in Israel, I wasn't really home. No matter what happens, no matter how scary things might be, I know there is nowhere else that I belong. Each time I think that life in Israel is difficult, I think back to what my ancestors endured. The Jews have lived through famine, drought, massacres, disease, and terrorism. Israel's neighbors want to destroy us. There are terror attacks almost every day. Yet in perspective, the Jewish people are in a better place than we've been in 2,000 years. We are finally able to stand up for ourselves and protect our land. I tell my children, and I remind myself, every second is a gift. Don't waste it on worry, but cherish it in joy.
You've been listening to Holy Land Moments. To receive Yael's Corner each week via email and to add Yael as a friend on Facebook, visit holylandmoments.org. You can also explore issues facing Israel today, discover insights on Judaism, and learn about the Jewish roots of our Christian faith. That's holylandmoments.org.
Hey, it's Crane, and come to 5 Central on this afternoon's Nothing But Truth. We'll explore the following questions. Trump expresses regret for his words causing pain. Is this the pivot? Another Hillary email claim comes into question. Does it matter? Perkins and Huckabee call out the president's response to the Louisiana flooding. Are we seeing a double standard from the media? Plus, Dr. James S. Robbins on the Iranian ransom payment. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
Thanks for listening to Exploring the Word, and be sure to tell others about AFR Talk.
The Word of God is spoken. We are changed forever. Power of sin is broken. We are free. We are running to salvation. We have been delivered. The Word of God is spoken. We are free.
With the Word, Bert Harper, Alex McFarland with you today, and we have our special guest, Ray Comfort. And we're talking about The Atheist Delusion, the movie that he's made, 62 Minutes, and it's available at AFA Store. There's a bundle with that and some others that are books that are available to you, CDs. It's The Atheist Delusion, and you can go to afastore.net, and you can see that, and you can order that, and it will bless you beyond measure. And we appreciate Ray Comfort working with AFA the way you have, Ray. It's been a great, great relationship. I know you and our president, Tim Wyman, several times have had different discussions on it. So we appreciate you doing this for us, brother.
Love AFA. It's just a great big lighthouse in a dark storm.
Well, you are a blessing to us. And let's get back to the question. And I wanted to ask you this. And I found out some questions that I wanted to ask. And one of them is this. Back in April of 2001, American Atheist Incorporated flew you from California to Florida to speak to the National Convention. Now, why in the world? Okay. Were they trying to convert you, brother?
No, it was quite funny, actually. I, around 1999, I think, 2000, I thought, boy, nothing is too hard for God. I'd love to speak at American Atheists Incorporated National Convention. So I sent them an email and said, I published a little book called The Atheist Test. It sold a million copies, and I'd love to come and talk to them. And they wrote back and said, no way. And then I started getting emails from the national spokesman, Ron Barrier, And we began discussing little sword fights via email. And he said, would you have the guts to face me in a debate? And I said, oh, yeah, I'd love to do that. I said, I'd even pay my own way from Los Angeles to Florida. And so we decided we'd have a debate. And I sent him a book I'd written called God Doesn't Believe in Atheists, because I felt sorry for him. He's an atheist. He's got nothing to say. So I thought I'll give him some material to get back at me. Well, he withdrew from the debate after, I guess, he read the book. About a week later, it was all off. And then atheists started writing to me and say, hey, you chickened out. And I said, I did not. And I had Ron Barrow's original email where he chickened out. And he became roast chicken to a point where they had to fly me. They were forced to fly me from L.A. To Orlando. They put me in a really nice hotel. They gave me a food basket, which I took a food taster with me just to make sure. And they were so nice to me. Seriously, they gave me a card when I arrived in that gift basket and a nice hotel room and let me speak. And let me make my books available free of charge. And I had the weird experience of signing them. So I've had this relationship with atheists for many years. It's kind of love-hate relationship. I love them, they hate me. But because I'm kind of, in their eyes, I'm known as Banana Man, I'm a kind of celebrity clown, and I'm non-threatening to them. Plus, I've got a weird accent, which right. makes me sound intelligent. And so I have access to atheist programs, and I'm regularly on their Skype, television, their blogs, all sorts of things, getting interviewed by them. So it's a wonderful thing.
You were talking about your accent. Now, I'm from the south of the United States, so
you
I
are?
Have my accent. Oh, yeah. I figured you'd have a hard time recognizing that. But you're from the southern hemisphere, so both of us have southern accents. Would that be the interpretation of those?
I think so.
Okay.
But
okay.
I love the southern accent. I think you sound wonderful.
Hey,
and I'm a big Andy Griffith fan.
Oh, man. You're in good territory then with Alex and myself.
Day,
yeah, I just absolutely. We'll probably end up in some sort of ward as we get older, the Eddie Griffith ward, because we keep watching repeats. We know what's going to happen again and again and again. Where, you know, that criminal, the three ladies, the escape from jail. She says, "There's nobody here," and then you've got a man in a hurry, which is just so wonderful. He's my hero. I didn't want him to slow down. I wanted him to keep going.
Yeah.
And we just love Andy Griffith's show, and we love the accents.
And if you don't like the Andy Griffith show, if you're a millennial and don't, you need to get a life and get on with it.
Need to repent.
Amen. That's right. Go ahead. And Alex, it's his turn to ask the question, but he does claim North Carolina's his state for many reasons.
Sure.
Let
sure.
me before you go that, let me make
in,
sure
we're talking with Ray Comfort and livingwaters.com is one of his websites. Ray, I've got to say this. You are doing such a great job, not only with the Atheist Delusion, and you know, all the way back, I first became aware of your ministry with the recording of Hell's Best Kept Secrets. But you also, you've talked about the Beatles and pop culture, and, you know, you mentioned Andy Griffith, and there was a time when America was so given toward the church and Christianity and belief in God. I mean, we were a very moral culture at one time, and we were a very pious culture at one time. You do such a good job of laying out how the falling away happened and how the change happened. And so just talk a little bit about how you came to, you know, really understand the culture and really get the big picture on the cultural drift we've witnessed.
You've just got me back to the Andrew Griffith show. Thanks a lot, you know, because I love it where he talks about the woodshed with opiate a whooping and stuff like that. Would get him in jail nowadays. But it was what America was like back in those days where, you know, a kid was a brat, he should go to the woodshed and teach him a little respect for, and they talk about church and God and the Bible and Barney falls asleep in church and stuff like that. It's just so cool. Let's just change the subject today and just talk about the Andy Griffith show.
Hey, listen, before you answer that, I want to push this because there are going to be people that want to hear this. The Atheist Delusion, a bundle of that and other books are available at AFA Store. So we want to make sure everybody knows that, Ray, because that's the reason you're on here, to make sure that people can get this movie as I call it, a tool in their hands for them to be equipped, but also to allow others to know the truth, isn't it?
Yes, and to finish a question, I'll get off Andy Griffith and just say that was a time of innocence, but we've done exactly what Israel did. You know, if you're asked, what is the greatest sin of America? I'm sure a lot of people say, well, it's abortion, it's homosexuality, it's adultery, it's pornography, it's blasphemy, it's all these things. But there's one sin that's very, very prevalent in America. Most Christians couldn't define what it is. God saw fit to address it in the first two of the Ten Commandments, and it's the sin of idolatry. Now, most people say, what, idolatry? What are you talking about? You know, worshipping idols? No, idolatry is making God in your own image. And our nation, and I speak as an American, has an image of God that's erroneous. It's been pushed from pulpits, and it's across America, that is, God is more like a divine butler than anything else. You know, click your fingers, he'll come running. You got problems, just seek the Lord. You got financial problems, marital problems, all sorts of problems. He'll solve your problems for you. That's not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible says that we're enemies of his and our minds through wicked works. And every time we sin, we store up wrath. And when God spoke to Moses and gave him the Ten Commandments, so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. When God spoke, Israel said, don't let him speak, lest we die. And this is when God came in peace to give the law, the moral law, to Israel with a smile on his face. And so we've lost, the nation has lost the fear of God. The fear of God is a derogatory term. And yet that's what they had in the Andy Griffith Show times. You know, 1950, America was a God-fearing nation. Kids didn't kill kids. People didn't get raped when they go for a walk at night. Husbands didn't beat up their wives. It was a time of innocence because we were a God-fearing nation. And we've fallen away from that. And the blame lies at the feet of many pulpits because they don't preach the fear of the Lord. People in the church don't fear the Lord. And people out in the streets don't fear God. And they blaspheme his name without a second thought.
Yeah. To the question that was asked, do they need to get the atheist delusion to find out what that question was?
Yeah, that's the teaser. It's,
yeah, I thought
you know,
so.
Our ministry is on the line. We've put it on the line. We've said we have irrefutable evidence for the existence of God. This destroys atheism with one question. That's putting our credibility on the line. But we do have that evidence. This is such a wonderful thing to see someone who's an atheist change his mind because they hear this one question. It's very moving to see anybody changing their minds about the existence of God. But the exciting thing is that opens the door to the gospel. We're talking about atheism being kind of dangerous. This is where the danger is. If someone's an atheist, then they're not open to the gospel. They're not going to listen to the words of Jesus. They're not going to listen to Christ crucified on the cross for the sin of the world, because sin doesn't exist. Moses was it didn't exist. The Bible is just not true. Everything shuts down if someone says, I'm an atheist. So to have an atheist change his mind, and this is what we see happen in the movie, a number of them then change their minds about their openness to the gospel. One lady who said, absolutely, I'm an atheist. She's as fundamentalist as you can get. She said, it'd have to be out of this world proof. Well, I was able to give it to her. And when I said, do you know what God did so sinners wouldn't have to go to hell? She answered, could you please tell me? It's very, very moving. And another guy, elderly gentleman from New York, wanted to commit suicide. And he was heckling my preaching friend, Scotty, as he preached the gospel at Huntington Beach Pier. He just went berserk. And I went up to him and said, you're an atheist? He says, yeah. And he was angry that God apparently had no action towards those who molest children, etc. And he was angry at us because of it. And over the next 30 minutes, I got to interview him, and he melts before your eyes. It's so wonderful to see. He says, you know, if I make it to heaven, will I be bored? And then he says, oh, how come you care about me, a complete stranger? And this is what makes people cry, because we love to see people open their hearts to the gospel. And that's what you see with the atheist delusion. So, as you mentioned, it's available for download on your website there. You get free materials, and you get to see it 7 weeks early. And you help us, and AFA, help us particularly have the ability, because we're splitting it, the ability, financial ability, to make movies of this caliber in the future and to pay for this one. So we're very grateful when people download. In the first 2 days, thousands downloaded it, so we're very grateful to them.
And you can go to afastore.net and find that. Go ahead, Alex.
Ray, don't you think atheists are made, not born? I mean, aren't the default position of the human mind is to believe in a creator or to believe in a God. And don't you think atheism is a learned position rather than instinctive?
Yeah, it's the same as everything else. You know, people say homosexuals are born that way. Well, it's adulterers are born that way, and so are fornicators. And it's just rebellion against the light that God's given to us. The Bible says God has given light to every man. The word conscience means with knowledge. con is with, science is knowledge, conscience. So every single human being has a knowledge of God and a knowledge of right and wrong. And that's what we tap into in the movie. Very important that if you want to reach someone who's an atheist, that you don't stay in the realm of the intellect. The Bible says in Romans 8, verse 7, the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. In other words, the natural mind of humanity is in a state of hostility towards God. That's why they use his name as a cuss word. It makes no sense. Can you think of anybody in history other than Jesus Christ and Jesus who's had his name used as a cuss word? Napoleon, Hitler, Obama. There's nobody. And Mother Teresa, nobody has had their name used as a cuss word. But Jesus tells us why. He says, the world hates me because I testify of its deeds that they're evil. And so we have this knowledge of God and we're offended by his moral government. We're not subject to the law of God, that moral law. And so if you want to witness to an atheist, you have to get away from the carnal mind. And the way to do that is to direct yourself to the conscience, as Jesus did in Mark verse 17. That rich young ruler came running to Jesus, knelt down and said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Well, Jesus didn't say, "Oh, quickly say this prayer before you change your mind." Firstly, he reproved his understanding of the word good. He says, "Why do you call me good? There's none good but God." And then he gave him the Ten Commandments. Well, why did he do that? Well, if you want to know what God is like, his moral standard, give someone the Ten Commandments. Tell them that lust is adultery in his eyes, hatred is murder, lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, and all liars live their part in the lake of fire. Suddenly they'll begin to see, whoa, is that God's standard? Then I need a Savior. Then I need someone who can wash away my sins. So it's very important to realize there's a correct biblical way to reach someone who professes atheism. Don't argue with them. Mm. Go for the conscience.
Our guest today is Ray Comfort, and he has just released the movie, The Atheist Delusion, and it's available at afastore.net. And we hope you'll visit that and find that and order it, and it'll be a blessing to you, to us, and to Ray. So it's a three-way blessing. Sounds like the Trinity to me. Ray, I wanted to ask you this. This was intriguing to me. Atheists often say that Christianity has caused more wars than anything else in history. I've heard that and heard that, and I mean, I'm a student of history, and I know it's just not true. It's not true, is it?
2004, a book came out called The Encyclopedia of Wars. And the Encyclopedia of Wars said that up until 2004, there were 1,763 wars in human history. Only 8% of that 1,763 were religious wars, and two-thirds of the 8% were in the name of Islam. So in other words, most of the wars in history were not religious wars, they were more political, like the First World War, Second World War, Korean War, Vietnam War. And if we're talking about atrocities in history, let's look to the track record of atheism. Stalin, who was an atheist with the atheistic philosophy of atheistic communism, was responsible for 60 million deaths. Mao, atheistic communism, 40 million deaths. Pol Pot, atheist with an atheistic philosophy, slaughtered 1.7 million people. And Vladimir Lenin, an atheist, 5 million people. And so in the last 100 years, atheists have been responsible for the slaughter of 110 million people. And that's why, if I can mention a book that goes with the movie here, it's called Fat Chance, Why Pigs Will Fly Before America Has an Atheist President. And it's got a picture of Hillary and Donald Trump on the front and caricature standing in front of the White House. And above the White House, there are pigs flying because it's not going to ever happen because it's illegal in seven states for atheists to hold political office. America's never had an atheist president. There's no atheists in Congress, and so that this book brings out these points. Amen. It's called Fat Chance, and I think you can get it on Amazon.com.
Okay. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Ray's staying around to answer your questions. Give us a call about atheism.
What are you deliberate and determined in seeking? The psalmist writes, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for thee, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God." These words of a man whose inner being ached to go the depths, how visibly he describes his longing, "My soul pants for thee." Charles Spurgeon's remarks here are beautiful. He says, David was heartsick. Ease he did not seek, honor he did not covet, but the enjoyment of communion with God was an urgent need of his soul, an absolute necessity like water to a stag. His soul, his very self, his deepest life was insatiable for a sense of the divine presence. What are you deliberate and determined in seeking? I'm Ryan Loving with Life Action Ministries for OneCry.com.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies. We're asking Christians to vote for candidates that stand for biblical principles and biblical moral values and engage in your community by living and sharing your faith.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
And I'm going to be sharing the gospel.
You'll find rally dates and locations, plus information on how you can be involved at DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Now is the time to take a stand.
Hey family, make sure and join me this Saturday night, 8 Central Time on Living Life with Lauren. My guests will be Lori and Julie Formby. They have a really tremendous story to tell of how the Lord has healed them and walked them through their only child passing on to glory. They have a wonderful ministry, ellaslight.org. We'll be talking about that and more. You don't want to miss it this Saturday night on American Family Radio.
This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson. The growing number of young men with less than a four-year degree are spending their days unemployed and unmarried, but not unamused, says Samuel D. James at firstthings.com. James goes on to note that young men, significantly more so than young women, are stuck in life. These men are single, unoccupied, and fine with that because their happiness doesn't depend on whether they're growing up and living life. The article explains that rather than going out and conquering the real world, men in this demographic are conquering fantasy worlds through video games, and rather than wooing their true love, they're content with pornography and occupied with these distractions, they lead meaningless lives. This is Samuel James's point. We as Christians should offer a gospel that saves not only from hell, but also from meaninglessness. Christ has important work for each of us to do. This is a Decency Minute. I'm Bill Johnson.
Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page. Facebook.com/Exploring the Word.
Exploring the Word. It's been our privilege to interview Ray Comfort. He's been on the program. He's agreed to stay with us through the last segment where we're ready to hear your questions. We want those questions to be dealing with atheism or the movie, The Delusion, The Atheist Delusion. And so we want to hear from you. And that number is 888-589-8840 if you'd give us a call. And let me remind you, The Atheist Delusion, the movie, and some other helps are available at afastore.net for a cost of $19.99. So it's a real good deal. You can go there now, afastore.net, The Atheist Delusion. Well, Ray, again, it is so great to have you with us. But one of the things that make this program so different than a lot of the other Bible teaching program is that Alex and I get to discuss the scripture, and then we get to be accountable for what we say directly, and we go to the phone lines and ask them to ask questions. So this is always an exciting time, brother.
We'll see what happens, won't we?
No, we will. So Alex, are you ready as well, brother?
Let's do it. Okay. 888-589-8840, folks.
Our first caller is from Texas, and it is Derek. Derek, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello, fellas. How are y'all today?
Doing great.
Good. Hey, before we go on, I got to let you know we're under severe thunderstorms. If I lose you, I apologize.
Okay, man. Stay safe, okay?
Okay. All right. Got a question for Ray. Appreciate all of y'all's work, and the wife and I have supported Living Waters sit numerous times. We've got all your DVDs, like 180 and this, that, and other. And I'm sad to say, but I'm a Christian, have been for a long time, and I raised my daughters up in the Word, and they know the Word. And my oldest one has strayed from it, and she's going on 27 now, and she's been gone probably 6 or 7 years. And now she is rejecting the Lord and says she doesn't believe in our God anymore. And basically her beliefs are lining up with what I'm seeing as Wiccan beliefs. And she lives a pretty good distance from us, so we're not able to see each other. How would you handle that? I mean,
yeah, when the atheist delusion comes out, I would say to her, could you watch this and let me know what you think of it? It's important to me. Don't say, watch this, it'll do you good. Often people want their pastors to look at our stuff, and I say, well, don't tell your pastor. Ask him if he would look at it and let you know his thoughts, because it's important to you. And it's the same with a loved one. Cover in prayer. We'll pray for her too, your daughter. What's her first name?
Her first name is Krista.
Krista, well, we'll all pray for Krista. And just say, would you please watch this? It would mean a lot to me. I'd love to hear your opinion on it.
Okay. Derek, thank you for listening to Exploring the Word, and thank you for being a supporter of Living Waters Ministry. What a combination, if I say so myself. We have another caller online, and they're from North Carolina. Frankie, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, Hattie, how y'all doing today?
Hey, you from Mayberry?
No. Well, originally, I'm what you call one of them worthless nuts.
Okay.
The Ohio Buckeye. No, but Morganton, I live in Morganton. I was about 50-some miles from Asheville, about from Charlotte.
Okay. You have a question for Ray, Frankie?
Yes. When he was saying there was 7 states that it was illegal for you to be an atheist?
No, you cannot hold political office, Frankie, if you're an atheist. In 7 states, it's illegal to hold political office. And polls actually say Americans trust an atheist as much as they trust a rapist. And so that's what this book brings out. It's called Fat Chance, and you can get it at Amazon.com, and it's written in a New Zealand accent.
So, is there any way you'd be able to tell me what states those are?
No, but you could find it online. Just put what states is it illegal to be an atheist in political office, and they'll come up. One of them is your state, I think.
Yeah, one of them is North Carolina. And, you know, in the original charter of the Carolinas, you couldn't be a resident or landowner. And in 1835, the North Carolina state constitution was amended to say that you couldn't hold public office if you didn't profess the Protestant religion and belief in Old and New Testaments. And, you know, let me just interject this, and we'll get back to the calls with Ray. But, you see, part of being a leader and part of really defending our Constitution and Declaration is to believe that there is a moral code and that there is this creator who is the ground of moral reality. So really, while the atheist, and sure, people, if they want to be an atheist, they can be an atheist. But really, truly, to preserve and defend what it means to be an American and all of the great liberties that we have, since they are predicated on God, who gives life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, really our elected officials should be theists, if not Christians, in reality.
Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you, Frankie. And enjoy North Carolina from Ohio. We do thank you for listening. And if you want the movie, The Atheist Delusion, you can go to afastore.net and you can order it, and it's for $19.99, and you'll get the movie plus some other helps that would bless you. And so let's go to Arkansas and talk to Charlie. Charlie, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Yes, thank you for having me on. I just have a few questions. In 2005, they once found a dinosaur in Salt Lake City, Utah, that was not fully decomposed. And if you are an atheist, you believe the whole ball of wax, evolution and everything, and this dinosaur, if it had been millions of years old, it would have been fully decomposed no matter what. And also, Charles Darwin once said that he understood everything there was to understand about biology, but he could not understand the concept of the human eye. And I'll hang up and listen to your comments.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, the eye has 137 million light-sensitive cells. It has focusing muscles that move an estimated 100,000 times a day. I mean, you think it's so good to look in the mirror without the vanity and just think objectively on how God could make an eye. with their little blinkers on and lubrication and how you can see and it brings me to a point of worship. This is going to sound crazy, but I go into worship when I collect eggs from our chickens. I think, how could these dumb, stupid birds, we give them trash one night, next morning comes a hygienically sealed package you can fry, poach, scramble, or make into an omelette. And it's always the same. Doesn't matter what food you give them, they make them into an egg the next day with a shell. And it just makes me think how incredible God is. If you start thinking objectively, we take all these things for granted. You know, the birds singing and the trees bringing forth fruit and seeds being planted in dirt and bringing giving us peaches and bananas and apricots and apples. All around us we see the miracle of the genius of God's handiwork. And the eye was one thing that frustrated Darwin because it didn't fit into his silliness.
You saying that, you know, about the egg made me think about a brown cow eating green grass and giving white milk. I mean...
And stirred up to make yellow butter. You've got to add that, too.
Yes, you do. Okay, thank you, Charlie. Hey, how about the dinosaur in Utah?
Yeah, I haven't met that one, but Job 40 speaks of the dinosaur, the biggest, the chief of the ways of God, and had a tail like a big tree, and it was herbivorous, and he that made him can make a sword approach to him. So this greatest thing that God ever created, this monster of an animal with a tail like a huge tree, and its strength in its loins, and its bones like bars of brass, herbivorous, and God says he that made him can make a sword approach to him. In other words, he brought this largest creature ever made into extinction. So we don't need to feel embarrassed about dinosaurs or science, because the Bible has some wonderful scientific facts. The earth hangs upon nothing, speaks of the earth's free float in space. Genesis holds up. You can observe and test it. You see, Genesis says every animal brings forth after its own kind. And in the beginning were male and female. Well, we can see that in creation. And so we never need to be embarrassed about Holy Scripture. And it's the evolutionists with their blind faith and things that supposedly happened millions or billions of years ago that need to be embarrassed when you start probing them.
Amen. Let's go to Mississippi and talk to Dale. Dale, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for having me. I'm going to be brief, but I just want to shout out a little praise for Ray Comfort and what he's doing. I work at a community college, and I have to be very careful with my ministry as far as mentoring to younger people. And with all the trouble that's going on in the world right now, I have so many people that come through my door who are worried, and they ask me questions, Bible questions, all the time, and I have to be careful about what I say. But most of the time I get a second chance to meet with them after closing time where I can, you know, speak with them frankly about what the Bible says. And I want to tell Mr. Ray that his DVD called 180 is probably the greatest witnessing tool I've ever had in my hand. I've shown it to so many different people, and it has turned their life completely around. And I just wanted to give a shout out to him and let him know that there are people across this nation that are standing with him and what in his mission. It has helped me so much. Even my coworkers have come to me and asked me for my hobby over and over and over to share with church.
Amen.
And it's just a powerful witnessing tool. It's changed my life. It's helped me to witness to other people in a way that I can't get from, I just never have seen it put forth that way. And I can't wait to see the new one that's come out, the atheist one. And I had a young man today told me as I was going out the hallway, they look, man, have you heard about Ray Comfort's new DVD? And I said, yeah, I did. But I just haven't got to see it yet, so I'm going to download that when I get back home.
Well, let me tell you how you can do that. It's afastore.net, afastore.net, and it's $19.99, Dale. And, brother, keep up that good work.
Yes.
Ray, where does a diamond shine the brightest? I know when I bought the ring for my wife, they put it on a black cloth, brother.
Yeah, that's so true. And the way to make the cross shine is to have the backdrop of the moral law, those thunder out those commandments and flashes of lightning, so you see what sin is and you can see what the Savior's done for us.
Amen. Thank you, Dale. Let's go to Texas, and talk to Nathan. Nathan, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you, Bert. Thank you, guys. I sure appreciate your ministries. God bless you, all of you. And I called a few years ago on one of these programs and spoke with Ray, had the privilege of speaking with Ray, about an atheist friend I had that claimed he used to be a Christian, and I was having trouble getting him to come to terms with. Maybe he didn't have a full grasp on Christianity. And Ray gave me the simple question to ask him, when you were a Christian, did you know the Lord? And so I did that, and we've kind of gone back and forth since then. But here recently, our conversations come back up, and it really feels like talking against a brick wall. And in the last few years, I've seen a YouTube video that he put out where he just went on camera and said that, you know, there's no such thing as a God, and I personally deny the Father, deny the Son, deny the Holy Spirit, and Satan, if you're real, feel free to come into my heart. Kind of as a, not necessarily a joke, but, you know, kind of just real dry, just completely oblivious to reality. And when faced with something like that, you know, part of me wants to consider, try to wrap my head around Hebrews 6, where it talks about it's impossible for those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, you know, to renew them again to repentance, because they would be crucifying again for themselves the Son of God and putting him to open shame. And I'm just trying to wrap my head around, am I misinterpreting that verse? Is there still hope for this guy? Do I still need to pour my heart into him? And I mean, I'm still praying for him, but it's been 3 or 4 years now, and I'm just wondering if there's anything you can do to encourage me. I know in the New Testament, there's a kind of a tough passage where we're told if we see someone that's committing a sin that does lead to death, to break off fellowship and not even pray for such a one.
Okay.
And I'm not sure if these verses are kind of being understood, if I'm understanding these properly, or if I should continue.
Nathan, those verses aren't applicable to this case. This gentleman didn't know the Lord. Jesus said in Luke 9:62, whoever puts his hand to the plow and looks back isn't fit for the kingdom. He didn't just look back, he went back. So it shows he wasn't fit for the kingdom. That word fit in the Greek is eutheto, which means ready for use. He was a false convert. He went back to the world where his heart was anyway, as a dog returns to its vomit, as a pig to wallow in the mire. So there is tremendous hope for him. He's just in darkness, alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in him. So pray for him. Try and get him to, this movie comes out 22nd of October online. Just ask him to watch it and give thoughts, because he's going to come under the sound of the gospel. It doesn't go to the intellect only. It goes to the heart, and that's where the power is, and that's what God blesses.
We're going to go to one more caller. Have to be quick, but we're going to try to get Roy in from Alabama. Welcome, Roy.
Well, it's nice to be with you. I just wanted to say to Mr. Comfort, this is Chief Justice Roy Moore, Alabama Supreme Court, and we appreciate what you're doing for this country, Ray.
Oh, and thank you, Roy. It's so nice to hear from you.
Well, it was my pleasure, and we did see the Atheist Delusion, and it is wonderful. And I would compliment you on that, and just keep up the good work, because we certainly need God back in our country again.
Can I quote you on that? It is wonderful.
You can.
Thank you so much, Roy. Well,
what an honor to have you on, Judge.
Yes.
Well, thank you very much. I'm not often listening to the radio at this time because of work, but it just happened. I'm doing something and turned on the radio, and there you were, and I thought I'd just give you a call and tell you thank you for what you're doing.
Well, thank
you. I'm so pleased you're listening, and you're the last call. That's great. Thank you so much.
Hey, Roy, Judge Moore, keep listening. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
We do appreciate you. Amen. Ray,
I didn't like to hurry him up.
No. We was going to try to, if it had been earlier, we'd probably been on the whole time. But let me give this where you can get The Atheist Delusion. It's at afastore.net. AFAstore.net, $99.99. Alex, I know you'd want to say thank you to Ray. Go ahead, brother.
Ray, God bless you, and we are praying for you, and we just are so thankful for the vital work you do.
Thank you so much, guys.
And Ray, again, this is Bert saying thank you for being with us, and brother, may God increase your tribe. We love you, man.
Thank you. Okay. God bless you. Bye-bye.
This has been a joy for Alex and myself to have Ray Comfort on, and we hope that you will order that, The Atheist Delusion, at afastore.net, afastore.net. Alex, hope you have a great weekend, brother.
God bless you all, and Bert, we'll see you next week.
We'll be here. Tell someone about exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.